If you take a look here in Siman Tuf Mem Dalet, which is the equivalent of 444, and it's on page 36, and we're up to Sif He, which is on the bottom of 36. And he wants to know what happens if you save chametz and you expect to eat it, and it's Erev Pesach. He's talking about a case of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shavis, but the same issue could apply any Erev Pesach. You have chametz, so what do you do with it? You know, you have extra chametz. So if it's a weekday, so then you destroy it. Any chametz that wasn't eaten up, you take it out to the Sreifa, you know, together with whatever pieces you found during the Bedika. But if it's on Shabbos, because Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, because Pesach is on Motzi Shabbos, then you have no option. You can't burn the chametz on Shabbos itself, because now it's Erev Pesach and it's Shabbos. So he says, Mevatlo, on the top of page 37, Mevatlo v'kofalov kli. The best he can do is be Mevatlo the chametz, and then he could cover it up with a kli. And he's accomplishing two different goals. The first goal that he wants to accomplish is to make sure that he doesn't eat the chametz. And he wants to, you know, he doesn't want to leave chametz around, even though it's, you know, it's Shabbos, but it's also Erev Pesach, and it's now after Shas Yisuroh. So that's the din that applies the whole Pesach. If you find chametz in your house on Pesach and you can't destroy it because it's Yontif, so kofal avasakli. But now he wants to accomplish another goal, because even if you're kofal of a sakli, you're not going to achieve a salvation, a protection from the Isur Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, because you own the chametz. So you have chametz now that you own. What are you going to do with that? And the answer is, you mevatel the chametz. And once you mevatel the chametz, you no longer violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Now on a derabbanan level, we're worried that you might come to eat that chametz, and therefore kofal of a sakli. Ad motzoi yontif, wait until after yontif is over. That's going to be on Sunday night, right? Because Sunday is yontif, and then mevaro, and then you can destroy it. So we'll take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Chaf Aleph. He says, Mevatlo v'kofe v'chule. Yomari, oh, he says, why not just sell it to a guy? Now, even though, yeah, oh, so that's what we're going to ask. Even though we don't sell things on Shabbos, but they were allowed what's called a shvus b'mokom mitzvah, meaning that although there's a shvus that's codified at the end of Masechta Beitzah, the last Mishnah in Beitzah, about not selling things on Shabbos. However, it could be possible that a matana, a gift, is not included in that shmus. And even if you'll say that gifts are also included in that shmus, but in the case of a mitzvah, they would allow you to sell the chametz or give it as a gift. Now again, if you want to ask about giving it as a gift or selling it, you're going to have to talk about chametz before the sixth hour, because chametz only becomes aser b'hanah with the sixth hour. So let's say, for example, on a perfect day, the fifth hour is from 10 to 11, the sixth hour is from 11 to 12. So it's 11 o'clock on Shabbos morning. If you have a goy, you can give it or sell it to a goy. Again, exactly how you sell to a guy is complicated, because you don't want him to pay you for it. But what you can do is, you can give it to him as a gift, or you can sell it to him without accepting the mos, and he does what's called a kinyan akbar, a kinyan mashiach. However, we're talking about a scenario which Mayri de les kusi, there's no guy around to sell it to or to give it to. Okelev, well, there's no dog to feed it to. So now he's in a bind, because he can't sell it, he can't give it to a guy, he can't feed it to his dog, and he's got chametz in his rishus. You know, of course, if all things were ideal, he should have set up exactly the amount of you know, maybe he should have taken small chalas, lachmaniot, what we call a pitot, to make sure that he would consume it by the Shas Yisur. But that didn't happen. Maybe he expected to feed other members of his family. They didn't show up, or they had stomach aches. Anyway, he's left with chametz. So that's where the mechaber says, "Mevatlo v'kofalo v'sakli."
Before the age of toilet bowls.
Oh, he's going to get to the toilet bowl in just a second. Yeah, that's going to be the. Oh, he says the ilav hachi. If you don't agree with me, meaning if we're talking about a case where he has access to a goy, or possibility of feeding his dog, is afshikvar ovru arbashos yomi b'shoch hamishis. Right, so even though it's already past 10 a.m. in the morning, but nevertheless, yitaltolo v'yitnei lahem. He's allowed to pick up the chametz. I mean, because again, at this point, chametz is not muktzah. Chametz would only become muktzah theoretically if there's nothing you can do with it. But now it's the shah chamishis, which means that it's still mutar b'anah. And therefore, if it's mutar b'anah, it's not muktzah. So he can literally pick up the chametz and feed it to his dog. He can pick up the chametz and he can give it as a gift to the guy. But he has no guy, he has no dog. Oh, says the Mishnah Berurah, he has another option. And what's the other option? But now again, it's contingent on the fact that he has a Beis HaKiseh. So let's say he doesn't have a Beis HaKiseh. So now, all the options have been, you know, all the doors are closed in his face. He doesn't have the option of selling it to a guy or giving it as a gift to a guy. There's no guy around. He doesn't have the option of feeding a dog. There's no dog around. He doesn't have an option of putting it in the Beis HaKiseh because he has no Beis HaKiseh. So what do we do now? So in this time, shach shishis. Now he's stuck. You know, if everything is equal, and he's still in the shach chamishis, so there's no isur muktza because it's mutamana. Then he can put it in a certain place, and he can kofel of a sakli, and he can be mavatal it. That's fine. But let's say that somehow, you know, before he took the reins into his hands and took control over the situation, all of a sudden the clock hits 11 a.m., which is Shah Shishis. Now Chavitz is Asa Magna. At this point, Asa Magna V'Asa L'Taltala, it becomes Muktza. And this is based on the principle called Yesh Muktza L'Chatzi Shabbos, that something, even though it was Mukhad going into Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes, but now it became Muktza. I mean, you have a whole sugi about Shivrei Kalim. But again, in Shivrei Kalim, basically, what we say is that you can still use the Shivrei Kalim. But let's say you had Shivrei Kalim that you couldn't use, and it was absolutely useless, it would become muktzah. And chametz, after the sixth hour, becomes absolutely useless. Afilu hachi shari al yedei akum. What he could do is he could ask the guy to do him a favor, pick up the chametz and throw it into the river or into the Beis HaKiseh. Notice he's talking about a case where the Beis HaKiseh is outside his house. You know, they used to have a common outhouse. And that would entail violating the Isur Hotzah, or at least Hotzah Derabbanan into a Karmelis. And therefore, he has no option now, because of Muktzah, to get rid of the chametz. Says the Chavetz Chaim, but if he could find a guy at this point, again, if he found a guy in the fifth hour.
He started out with the assumption that there wasn't a good
guy. Correct. So he had no guy in the fifth hour. If he had a guy in the fifth hour, he poured it off on the guy. Now the guy shows up in the sixth hour. Correct? So what he could ask the guy now. Again, he can't transfer ownership over the Chavetz because it's already Osamana. Once it's Osamana, you don't have bailus, you don't have ownership to transfer ownership of it. And now you're in deep trouble because you're going to violate Bayerah by Matzeh. Again, you can cover that by Bittul, but you still have a problem in Rabbanan at least that you got to get rid of the Chavetz. So what do? The guy shows up in the sixth hour, so you tell him to take the Chavetz out and throw it out, whether it's in the river or into the sewage system. Now you might ask, but isn't this Amir Eliakov Shavuz? Why? Because the Akov is now doing something that you yourself would not be allowed to do. Why would you not be allowed to do it? Because once you leave the house with your chametz, then you violate the Isur Hotzah. Not only that, you're also violating the Isur Muktzah. You have one? Chelkei? Excellent. So again, what we're going to apply the principle is what's called Shvus the Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. What's the Shvus the Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah? Number one, to take the chametz out would only be a Shvus. That would be a single Shvus because it's a karmelis. Hotzala karmelis is only a Shvus. Number two, Mukta is only a Shvus. So you have a double Shvus, and now you're going to say that for the sake of the mitzvah, I'm allowed to tell the guy, you know what, I'll grant you the following. Let's say Tiltul Mukta is the Doraisa. I mean, again, we're not talking about a Klisha Malach Tol Isa, we're talking about Mukta Mamish, Eitzim Vavonim, right? The Chavetz now is like Eitzim Vavonim, it has no purpose, it's Osir Manah. So that's not going to be a mitigating factor here. But on the other hand, if it's a karmelis, that's a mitigating factor. So you've already reduced it from Hotzah Doraisa to a Shvus of Hotzah. Oh, number two, you're telling the guy to bring it out. That's another Shvus. And number three, you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah because the Chachamim commanded you to get rid of your chametz. On the Doraisa level, you have a vatal the chametz. But Bin Rabbani, you have to get rid of the chametz so you can tell the guy to take it out and flush it down the toilet, which is outside your house in this case. So again, if you caught this in the fifth hour and you have a guy, give it to the guy. If you caught it in the fifth hour and you have a kelev, give it to the kelev. If you're in the sixth hour, because until now you had no access neither to a guy nor to a kelev, and now it becomes muktzah, so now you're not allowed to move it. If you're not allowed to move it, then how do you get rid of it? If you can't move something, how do you get rid of it? You can't burn it because it's Shabbos. So the only thing you can avail yourself of, if the guy all of a sudden shows up after 11 a.m. at the sixth hour, you can ask him to get rid of it for you. If you ask him to get rid of it for you, you're violating the Shvus of Amir Liakum. The answer is that there's another Shvus over here. That is Tiltul LeKarmelis. And if it's a Tiltul LeKarmelis situation, then it's a double Shvus. And if it's B'Makom Mitzvah, is then we apply the principle of Shvus to Shvus, B'makom mitzvah mutter. And if you take a look at the Shaar Tzion, this is all based on the Prima Gadol. The Mishnah Berurah is very much, you know, to a large extent, he stands on the shoulders of the Prima Gadol when it comes to, you know, the real conceptual analysis.
That's a general cloud, just
generally, the Prima Gadol has a tremendous impact on the general on the history of halacha, because he was a fabulous thinker. You know, he was an analytic thinker, and he puts the halacha into perspective. Now, let me just take one more minute just to clear my head here. If we assume that Tiltul Muktzah is Doraisa, which, see, there's a Rashi at the beginning of Beitza that seems so. Then, if Chometz becomes Mukta, like Eitzim Avonim, and I'm telling the guy to move Mukta for me, so that's a Amir Liakum on a Doraisa level. So, how could I apply Shvus to Shvus? Hello, what? As far as Hotzah is concerned, you could say it's a Karmelis, and that's only a Shvus, and Amir Liakum is a Shvus. But on the other hand, what about the Tiltul Muktzah?
You're saying Tiltul Muktzah is Doraisa?
There's a Rashi. I'm just saying this is just in the conceptual world. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. You know, this is not.
I'm going
way beyond the Mishnah Berurah for a split second, because I remember that Rashi Shita, it's all based on a pasuk called Ve'echinu Asher Yaviu in Parshas Beshalach. So Rashi Shita at the beginning of Masechet Beitzah, that Beis Amid Beis, is that Muktzah is Doraisa. Even according to Rashi, some say the Muktzah Doraisa is only Achilas Muktzah, but Tiltul Muktzah is Derabbanan. But let's assume, just in theoretical sense, that Tiltul Muktzah would be Doraisa. Now I'm telling the guy to take the chametz and carry it outside of my Rishus. That would be Amir L'Akum on an Issa Doraisa, meaning if I were to take the chametz out myself, I would violate an Issa Doraisa of Tiltul Muktzah, if you assume like that Rashi. If that be the case, can I tell a guy to violate an Issur Doraisa on my behalf? So now it becomes one Shvus, Ella one, it's B'makom Mitzvah.
Based on this,
so what's the deal with Amir Lach B'makom Mitzvah? That would be awesome. We're going to have to assume, not like that Rashi at this point. According to Rashi, I'm not sure if this solution of telling the guy to carry out your chavis would be a viable option. Because according to Rashi, that would be Amir Lach B'makom Mitzvah. Therefore, the Psak Halach is not like Rashi, and Tiltul, even in the case of Eitzim Avodim, is only Derabbanon. So we have now a triple Shvus. We have number one, Tiltul itself is a Shvus. Ah, no, as far as Issa Tiltul is concerned, so we have now one Shvus.
Issa Tiltul was a Rashi.
We're not assuming not like Rashi. We don't accept Rashi. So Tiltul books is only a Shvus.
Uh-huh.
Now, on top of that, we have Amir Liakum, so we have a Shvus to Shvus, and Shvus to Shvus, we walk a mitzvah is Mutter. The Akum is carrying it out into Rishus Arabim, and that's Hotzah, so that would be a Shvus of Amir Liakum off to Doraisa, and the answer is it's a caramel. It's a caramel, it's Shvus to Shvus, and for the sake of the mitzvah of getting rid of your chametz, that's allowed. What happens if the guy doesn't show up even in the sixth hour? So I have no dog, I have no guy. So what do I do?
Can you do it with a shinui? Would that be
tiltul? I don't know if there's such a thing as tiltul with a shinui. Maybe there is such a thing as tiltul with your foot, like you're allowed to quick kick muktzah. But again, I don't know if that applies.
This muktzah that's in the realm of Pesach.
Yeah,
this is stam a lav.
We're talking about
chametz. Right, chametz. Yeah, Yitzchak Pelz is talking about chametz. He's very aware of that. You know.
But so that's considered a lav in itself beyond ba'amotze ba'yire, but beyond
what muktzah.
The actual
muktzah is a separate Easter. It has nothing to do with ba'yire ba'yimotze. It happens to me that this case is a case of chametz. But muktzah would apply to Eitzim Avonim, and supposing I had Eitzim Avonim, I want to tell the guy to move Eitzim Avonim that I can't move, then that would be a shvus onto, so that would be a shvus to shvus. So maybe b'mokum mitzvah, again I'm not paskining now, but maybe b'mokum mitzvah
after the,
no, I'm just saying, if I had Eitzim Avonim and for some reason I had a mitzvah to move Eitzim Avonim, if that be the case, then it could be that for Mokum Mitzvah I can tell a guy to move Eitzim Vavonim for me on Shabbos. Again, assuming that he's taking it out to a Carmel. So if he would be taking it out to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, that would be a Shvus Otto Doraisa.
He's assuming he hasn't sold this to a guy. Otherwise, it's not his anymore.
Again, you came in late. Yeah, I mean, the whole discussion, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. The opening line in the Mishnah Berurah was, Umairi de less kusi. We're talking in the fifth hour, when you're allowed to sell it to a guy or give it as a gift, but there is no guy to be found. Now, the guy shows up in the sixth hour. Oh, the guy in the sixth hour is not going to open up the option of sell, because again, it's Isuri Anor with the sixth hour Chavetz Sosav Anor, but it opens up the option of having the guy get rid of it for you. If there's no guy in the sixth hour, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says on the top. Mevatlo v'kofa olav es hakli. In other words, you have no other option other than covering up the chametz with a kli. Now, Rabotzai, here I don't want to confuse you, but I would ask the following question. We have another principle in muktzah, which is called ein kli nital el litzorat dovra nital. So you want to cover the kli, cover the chametz. The chametz itself is muktzah. You want to move a kli in order to cover chametz. That's not allowed, because then you're being metaltal a kli litzorat dovra shenu nital. So again, if we're talking in the fifth hour, then it's chametz is mutabat no, so you're allowed to be kofel of a sakli. But he's talking in the sixth hour. So what do you do in the sixth hour? You have no guy to take it out. So kofel of a sakli, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I'm just talking to myself. Don't lock me up for that. But I often talk to myself. And maybe because I don't talk back, you know. So anyway, we're up to the mechaber in number four. Afal pishalo yishar achomitz babayis achar suda shachris tzorach levatel achomitz kederek shu mevatel b'shar ha-shonim. Here's the deal. Normally, in a regular year, we have two bittles. We have one bittle on the night of Yudalit, and that's called the bittle after Bedika. And then we have another bittle at the time of the beer achomitz, which is during the day of Yudalit. Now, what's the purpose of the second bittul? After all, why shouldn't the first bittul be enough? The answer is the first bittul is on what's called chametz sheni yedua. That's called the lo chazisa, meaning I did my bedika, but maybe this chametz that I missed. We're all human, so I'm mevatel ech chametz. Now I've left over chametz for tomorrow. Some of it I'll eat for breakfast. Some of it, I you know, is the pieces that I found, and I'm going to burn it. At the time that I burn it, I have a second bittul. Why? Because that bittul should cover the following possible scenario. That it could be, A, I missed chametz. No, I'm sorry. I designated this chametz for use, and now I lost it, so to speak. Meaning, I never got a chance to consume it. You know, we ate breakfast, but there was still leftovers. And I'm not taking it out to destroy it. Why am I taking it out to destroy it? Maybe I missed it. Maybe it was taken away by an animal. I don't know what happened. So I need a second bittul. Now, in the case of Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos, as we emphasized over and over again, he's got to designate the amount of chametz for the Suda Shachris in such a way that there's no leftover. Now, that's not always. And if I have chametz left over, I need a second bittul. Why? Because it's possible that I'm not going to be able to, whatever for any reason, to be mevayer that chametz. It was not included in my first bittul on the night of Yudalit. Fine. But what about in the following scenario? We're talking about Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos. If he's a genius, and if he's a prophet, he set aside exactly the amount of chametz he needs to be yotze, let's call it Lechem Mishnah, in the second Seudah. Because again, keep in mind, the Mechaber doesn't have the option of a third Seudah. Why? Because the Mechaber is of the opinion, that's in Hilchos Shabbos, that you can only be yotze the third Seudah in the afternoon after Mincha, but that you can't do with chametz. So the only opportunity for Shal Shudis is going to use Matzah Shira, according to those who allow Matzah Shira on Erev Pesach. The Ashkenazim don't allow Matzah Shira on Erev Pesach, the Sfaradim do. Or maybe he'll be yotze with fruits, or with meat, or with fish, whatever he does. But the bottom line is that there's no chametz beyond the second meal, which is the morning meal. So let's say he wakes up early on Shabbos morning, he davens vasikin, he finishes davening at 9 a.m., he still has another hour to eat chametz, and he makes his bracha of lechem mishnah, of hamotzi lechem menorot, on two pieces of bread, or two whole breads. And guess what? He calculated it perfectly. He did a great job. And now he has no chametz. Why? Because any chametz that he left over, he ate already. And any chametz he didn't find during his bedika was included in the first bittul. So therefore, the Mechaber asks the following question, as you know, he doesn't ask the question, he answers the question. Can we drop the second bittul? Let's just omit the second bittul. If he can testify that he made the first bittul, and any chametz that he left over past that bittul, he ate, he consumed, he and his family, then he, l'chore, before we see this Mechaber, we should conclude that he doesn't need a second bittul. Counsel on the Mechaber, and he says this becomes a perfunctory bittul. What do I mean by perfunctory? He says, Tzorech levatel chametz kederech shu mevatel b'shar shanim. We don't want to make distinctions, because if on this year he doesn't make bittul, then maybe next year he's not going to make bittul. So therefore, b'shasi suro, as he enters into the sixth hour, meaning, I should say, after sometime during the fifth hour, he should be mevatel his chametz, not because he needs the bittul. There's no need to be mevatel the chametz, but simply we want to be mashveh, we want to equate this year with any other year, to make sure he doesn't make any mistakes. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Nabuch Chav Beis. He says, Hainu b'sof shoch hamishis. Now he's referring here back to Tov Lamed Daled. There we established that it's too late when you enter into the sixth hour and chametz becomes osuban noh, it's too late to be mevatel the chametz. Bittul is only operative, is only meaningful before the Shasi Suro. Like, for example, the fifth hour. Once he enters into the sixth hour, it's fafalan, it's too late for bittul. And not only that, even this fake bittul, you know, this facsimile of bittul, even that should not be done, because on a regular year, if you got to the sixth hour, there's no such thing as bittul. The Torah doesn't recognize the validity of bittul.
Why? Because he sold it.
No, because chametz is osur b'noah. He didn't sell his chametz, so he couldn't find a guy to sell his chametz. And again, he, Baruch Hashem, he was lucky, he was able to consume all his chametz, but we're going to require this facsimile bittul that looks like bittul and smells like bittul in order to be mashveh this year with other years. But he says, once you reach the sixth hour, then there's no bittul, my friend. No bittul in the sixth hour. Now, why is there no bittul in the sixth hour? That's the subject of Siman Tov Lamed Daled. The punchline of that discussion is that Isurei Ano Lav Mamon, that once you enter into the sixth hour and chametz is also bana, it's not your chametz, and you can't be mevatel the chametz. And he says, Afilu Mekvar Bittul Miesmol, he says, even if he was mevatel again last night, but that bittul is not going to cover him for any chametz, but Baruch Hashem, he doesn't have any chametz. He consumed all his chametz. Okay, now we're up to Se'if Zion. And Se'if Zion is going to raise the issue of what we call a conflict. Or let's call it priority. You know, there's kedima. What happens if you're in a conflict situation? You have two mitzvahs. Like Avraham Avinu, you know, when Hashem visited him on the third day of his Mila, and then he had another mitzvah that came his way. What was that? Achdasas Arachim. So we have all sorts of conflicts when you have two mitzvahs that hit you simultaneously. Now that's part of the excitement of learning halacha, is what we call triage, you know, to decide which mitzvah comes first. So the Mechaber says the following. Haholech biyom yidalid lidvar mitzvah. So it's the 14th of Nisan, and he's on his way to do a mitzvah. Kigon, for example, lamul es bino. Wow, that's a very special mitzvah. Again, I'm not sure if it's the eighth day or it's the ninth day, if you follow me. But let's say it's the eighth day. So it's the eighth day since his son was born. He's now on his way to perform the mitzvah of Mila. Olechol se'udas erisin bebeis chamav. Wow, this is also a very unique kind of a mitzvah. And that's called the se'udas erisin. You know, during the period of erisin between Hareat Mekudeshesli, which is Erisin, and Nisuin, which is Chuppah. There's a 12, again, back in the day, there was a 12-month separation period. And during, and not only does Chuppah require a Suda, which is our Sudas Nisuin, but even Erisin requires a Suda. Now, where is she living at this point? Right, the idea of Chuppah is to take her into your Rishus, so the husband takes the bride into his Rishus. But now, we're talking about Erisin. And if there's a mitzvah of Sudas Erisin, then by definition it's going to take place bebeis chamiv. Because again, he can't take the girl into his house. That would be Nisuin. And right now it's only Erisin for the next 12 months. So for the Sudas Erisin, we're going to have to have the future Shver, if you know what I mean. He's going to have to host the Sudas Erisin. Now we'll have to see why the Mechaber is giving this particular example. But in any event, he's on his way to do a mitzvah. V'nizkar, oh, boker tov, sheyesh lo chametz bebeiso. Now, wait a second. It's Yudalid b'Nisan. This is a critical moment in which he's got to get rid of all of his chametz. And what's going to happen here if he continues on his way to do the mitzvah, Mila, Sudas Erisin, whatever the mitzvah might be, he's going to forfeit the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of destroying his chametz. Now, I'm not so nervous about Tashbisu, I'm more nervous about Bal Yiroh Bal Yimatzeh. If he doesn't destroy his chametz, he will violate two lavim in a Torah. But we're in a conflict situation. Why? Because on the one hand, he's on his way to Mila. On the other hand, he has a mitzvah of Tashbisu and possibly a violation of two lavim. So the Mechaber says the following. Im yachalachso lebeso, if he has enough time to go back to his house, ulevayer, and destroy his chametz, velachso lemitzvaso, and he'll get back on time for the Mila, or on time for the Sudas Erisin, is yachzor, let him go back home, viavayer, and destroy his chametz, and everything is fine. That's called efshel kaim shneim, he can do both. He can have his cake and eat it. He can, on the one hand...
We can't have his cake.
Well, again, it depends which cake you're talking about. I meant the cake of the Sudas Erison, or the cake of the Sudas Mila, right? Because it's early on Thursday morning. And he has enough time to get back for his kichel, you know, after the Bris Mila or the Sudas Erison. Again, he's going to have to destroy the chametz that's in his house, but he'll get back on time. That's called Efshel Kaim Shnei Vim Lav. But what do we do in a situation where he will not have the opportunity? Because, I mean, if he goes back to destroy his chametz, he will not be able to come back and fulfill his mitzvah Mila on time, or fulfill his mitzvah Sudas Erison. So if there was no other option here, then for sure he'd have to go home and destroy his chametz. But he has another option without going back home. How is that? Yevatlenu b'limo. Now, the assumption here, there's a twofold assumption here, two major premises that the Mechaber is operating with. Number one is that he can fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu through Bittul. That's a tremendous machlokas and controversy. But number two, even more radical, is that he can spare himself of the violation of Bal Yerov HaYemotze by being mevatel his chametz. And he doesn't have to go home to be mevatel. So
yeah, normally, when he does go home, it's all going to be there.
The classic example of bittul is when you finish your bedika, you do bittul on chametz in your house, or in the morning you take out your chametz to be mevired and you're outside your house and you mevatel it. But the Mechaber says that you can be anywhere on the face of the earth. You can even be in a spaceship on the moon. Again, the Israelis didn't send anyone to the moon, but at least they sent them. But imagine if you're in that spaceship, and on the moon you can make bittul. Yeah, and therefore, you protect.
Yeah, the Gemara, the Talmud was sitting with his Rebbe, and he wasn't able to go home, so he just went out.
Yeah, believe it or not, the Mechaber is aware of that sugya, Mitch. That he's just codifying that sugya.
Isn't there a problem when he does go home and sees the chametz?
Oh, so then you have a problem of what to do when he gets home. What do you do with that chametz when he gets home? And that's what the Mishnah Berurah is going to address. But right now we want to know the following, and then we'll get to question number two. Question number one is, which takes precedence? He has to juggle himself, correct? Should he go ahead with the mitzvah and bimal his son, and go to the Sudas Erison and participate, or should he drop that for the sake should he drop it for the sake of Bir Chometz? So the answer is, he doesn't have to drop it for the sake of Bir Chometz, because he has the option of Bittul. That's the Chiddush of the Mechaber, which is, again, as Mitch said, is based on the Sugyas HaGemara. Then we're going to have the problem, what does he do with the Chometz itself? So let's go back to the beginning of the Sif and read it together with the Mishnah Berurah. So we're going to start with Aholich b'yom yudalid l'dvar mitzvah kagon lomel espino. Says the Mishnah Berurah number chaf gimel. I just want to make sure we read chaf beis. Yeah, chaf beis we did already. Chaf gimel lomel espino. Ulesuudas bris mila. Here what the Mishnah Berurah is worried about is, it would seem that the bris mila itself could be achieved in a very short amount of time, and it's not pressing, it's not urgent, he still has time for the bris, but the problem is that the mitzvah of bris mila is a package deal. And what comes along with the mitzvah of the mila, not just the cutting of the foreskin, but also the Sudas Bris Mila. And presumably he's got to set up the Sudas Bris Mila in the morning. So just like he speaks about Sudas Erison, let's assume he's serving chametz at the Sudas Erison, the same thing should apply to the Sudas Bris Mila, and he's serving chametz in the Sudas Bris Mila. Fine, he tells you in the bottom all the sources for this. Mashma, delo mikri mitzvah le'inyon zeh levatel mitzvahs biur. I'm not sure what the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out over here. He just finished telling us that there's a package deal here of Mila plus Sudas Bismila. And then he wants to derive a conclusion from this that Lo Mikri Mitzvah Le'inyan Zeh Levatel Mitzvahs Biur. So what do you think he means by this, Rav Osai? When he says Lo Mikri Mitzvah Le'inyan Zeh Levatel Mitzvahs Biur.
He says if there's not enough time, he has to go.
Correct. He's saying that if he gets into a situation where there was no option whatsoever except for Bir Chametz, again, we're going to come up with a chiddush that there is an option here because of Bittel. But in a theoretical world, if there was no option, then Bir Chametz would trump Seudas Bris Mila. Even if it would mean he would have to drop the ball, so to speak, on the Seudas Bris Mila, because in a comparison, in a triage situation between the mitzvah of Sudas Mila and the mitzvah of Bir Chametz would win out. He doesn't tell you why. He says he's just that's a mathematical conclusion. Because the very fact that he says that if you had no option of Bir, let's say for whatever reason Bittul is not an option, you would have to go back and destroy your Chametz. You would have to drop Bris Mila, in this case, Sudas Bris Mila. Again, I don't know. Again, what about the Bris Mila itself? I don't believe for one moment that he's going to drop the Bris Mila. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, Bris Mila is a Chiyuv, Doraisa, and so forth and so on. He might have to drop Seudas Bris Mila for the sake of Bir Chametz if there was no option of Bittul. Sudas Erisin, now up to Chav Dalet, Vuhu Adin, Suuda Shaosim, Bishar Shakala, Mekabeles, Sivlonos. Wow, this is interesting. What we call engagement. In other words, there are three Suudos in marriage. And there are a lot more than three, but I'm talking before we get to the Shiva Simeon Mishnah. So, number one, the first Suud is what's called a Sudas Lechayim. Not really Lechayim, it's what you call Tnoim, or when you back in the day it was Sivlonos, you know what Sivlonos are, that you have to bring certain gifts to the Kala. This is even before the actual formal Erisin. Then after the Erisin there's going to be a Suda, and then finally after Chuppah, which is Nisuin, there'll be a third Suda. So some people say that Judaism is all about eating. This is a good proof, because we're going to eat at the engagement party, we're going to eat at the Erisin, and then we're going to eat again at the Nisuin. And all these come under the category of mitzvah. Now again, I'm a little confused here. Does the Mishnah Berurah tell us, is he implying here, that at the time of Kabbalah Sivlonos, the Seud is Mamish Seud is mitzvah? I mean, that could have tremendous implications as far as Avelus is concerned. You know, when do we override Avelus for the sake of a Sudas Mitzvah? During the 3 weeks, Sichveis during the 9 days. You know, you have to figure out what's a Sudas Mitzvah. Then he writes that in our time, even without Sivlonos, we have another Suda at the time of the Tnoim. You know, I thought that you can combine the two into one and kill two birds with one stone. He's saying that in our time you have to have a Suda at the time of Tnoim, and you have to have a Suda at the time of Sivlonos. And that's even before the Tnoim. So you have four Sudas now. Again, you know, those who like to eat will be very happy that we jacked it up to four different Sudas, and we haven't even entered into Shivas Yivei HaMishnah. And that's also called the Sudas Mitzvah. Bebeis Chamov, Mashma Dafka Bechasan Atzmo Mairi. In other words, the Chasan himself has to participate in the Sudas Erisin. And if he has to participate in the Sudas Erisin, it's going to take place Bebeis Chamov. Right? Because he's not allowed to be alone with her outside of the Beis Chamov. It might be Chuppah. People might suspect that he's taking her into a private place. So he has to set himself up for this Sudas Erisin in the Beis Chamov. V'yesh mekilim gam kein bi'acher im karui Sudas Erisin. What about if I'm invited to the Sudas Erisin? I'm not the chasan, but nevertheless, I'm on, you know, all of a sudden I'm on the way to a Sudas Erisin. I'm one of the, what they call the Shushvina, you know, I'm one of the entourage, the group of people that accompany the chasan. And now I remind myself that I have chametz in my house. And it, once again, we're going to try to find a way in which we'll be mekil, and for the sake of the participation of the Sudas Erisin, I will not go back home to destroy my chametz. And then we're going to have to rely on all sorts of kulas about what do you do with chametz if you didn't destroy it, and you were mevatel it, kofal of a sakli, and the whole 9 yards. But in the meantime, what is the status of a person who was invited to a Sudas Erisin? See, in the case of Sudas Nisuin, we have a concept called Ribui Simcha. What that means is that the Simcha starts with the Chasan and Kala, but it expands. They're like concentric circles. But in the case of Erisin, that Suda it's all the hub of the Suda is the Chasan himself. That Simcha does not have the power to spread and include other people in the Simcha. I'll give you an example. Again, this is not Lahalacha L'maisa, but if Shushvinon would show up in davening, we don't say Tachnu. So for example, for the 7 days from the wedding until the end of Sheva Bracha, the end of the Sheva Bracha, so the Sheva Simei Mishnah, the Shushvinon, again, we don't have Shushvinon, but back in the day they had Shushvinon. They were specifically appointed. You know, they were like the agents. You know, the security agents of the chassan, and they had to be available at, you know, the snap of a finger, and they had a din of simcha. So, for example, they're potter from sukkah, and maybe they potter us from the field sapayim. That's called shushvinon, but shushvinon only applies after the nisuin. Before the Nisuin, there's no such thing as Shushvinon. So I might have gotten an invitation to a Sudas Erisin, but even if I'm the best man, I'm the best friend of the Chasan, I don't have a din of Shushvinon. So for example, if I would have to leave the Sukkah in order to participate in the Sudas Erisin, I would not be allowed to do so, because there's no din of Simcha beyond the Chasan. But he writes that Yesh Mekilin, that some people are Mekil, and they say that everyone is called a participant in the Sudas Erisin. Again, if he's invited, if he's crashing, that's something different. So this is a Gevaldig Kula, to assume that with Erisin itself, there's a concept similar to Shushvinon of Ribuy HaSimcha, of Hispashtus HaSimcha. Okay, let's get back to Chametz. So what do we do with Chametz now? He's on his way to a mitzvah, and he reminds himself that he has Chametz. Who adin in this topic? It's not that he's definite that this chametz, but he has a doubt about it. Shema lest yesh lo chametz. B'chein kosv achronim. In other words, it's not just the Maram Chalava who's a rishon, but even the achronim follows suit. That, you know, to the same, you know, because again, you know, we're talking about an iser of chametz, and we're dealing with a doraisa right now. He hasn't yet made bittul. And even in a suffix situation, the Torah says we have to go l'chumra, so we have the full brunt of the severity and the stringency of chametz, even if he only has a suffix. Oh, so now's the case where he has plenty of time. If he has plenty of time, it's efshel kaim shneya. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, yachsav yivar me'achas shel yisbatel ba'amitzvah yidei abiyur. By going home, he will not be mevatel the mitzvah. So there's no need to get into a pressure situation and say, instead of destroying it, which we want you to do, be mevatel it. But the answer is no. He's got plenty of time to get home and return for the mitzvah, for the suda. And that's what he has to do. So there's enough time to destroy his chametz and get back for the suda. Umashma de mitzvahs bir kodemis. Ah, this is what we would die before. That if there was no option of bittul, then he would go back and be mevar the chametz. So again, here it's not a din of kedima because it's efshel kaim. Oh, here the Mishnah Berurah is mechadish something very important. It's a subtle point that you can literally miss the boat here. The Mishnah Berurah is saying that there are two dinim of kedima. One din of kedima is an either-or situation, meaning you can't have both. The other din of kedima is a question of sequence or priority, which comes first. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying that if he has enough time to A, go back and be mevaris chametz, and B, come back on time for the suda, then the Mechaber advocates that he goes back and is mevaris chametz. So the Mishmur is implying the following question. If it's Eshelkaim Shneim, so why does he have to go back home and schlep all the way back? You know, he's going to pay another fare on the bus if he doesn't have a transfer.
Well, he might linger.
He doesn't have what's it called, the Chadshichavshi, right?
Presumably, there might be concern he might linger and it may take time.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting consideration, but the Mishmur is not happening.
If he didn't go back, he would be involved
so assuming he's not going to get drunk at the Sudas Erusin or at the Sudas Bar Mitzvah, Bris Milah. So why not just, you know, you're on the way. You know, why turn back and take a bus back or a cab and then go back again? Why not just go through with the Bris Milah and the Suda and then go back and do beer? The time difference is, Adarama, you can enhance your ability to use your time well. So he says, then, there's another din of Kedima. Not the Kedima of either or, where you have to forfeit one of the two. It's an absolute tug of war and it's not, you know, you can't reconcile the two. But no, it's a din of kedima in Seder HaMitzvahs. In which comes first? Now we have to understand, why does the mitzvah of beer chametz come first? So again, if it was Sudas Erisin, I have no problem with that. Because certainly beer chametz, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, again we're talking before Bittul, that should take priority over Sudas Eris. But in the case of Bris Milah, I don't know why Bir Chametz, you're going to have to say it's because of the two lavim of Bal Yerovai Matzah. No, let's say there were no two lavim of Bal Yerovai Matzah. So all you have now on the scale is Mitzvahs Milah on one side of the scale.
Time-based thing.
And Bir Chametz on the other side of
maybe
the scale.
Maybe time-based thing, because you have no choice with Pesach. Even though
we're talking about Milah Bismana now. We're talking about it on the eighth day.
Stand,
and Milah Bismana is urgent. You know, people take their time.
They postpone
the Bris Milah. That's not right. Again, you're allowed to postpone it for the sake of, you know, you have to wait for the grandparents or somebody's getting off an LL plane from Chutz Lars. Some people they want to rent out an ulam, and the ulam says we have another bris going on in the morning. We'll take you in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to a different ulam, they're going to have to pay more money, or it's not as beautiful, whatever it is. So what they'll do is, they'll postpone the Bris Milah until the afternoon. Lo pashut. None of these issues are simple.
Yeah, when my son was born, I wanted Premishlaner Rebbe to be the Sunday, and he couldn't make it until the afternoon.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, Yitzchak Beinenu. Again, don't also the
Pharisee. No, I'm just saying.
It's low pashut. I'm all in favor of the Rebbe, the Rebbe, the Rebbe, the Rebbe.
Yeah,
but postponing Milah is not a simple matter. You know, you have two types of mitzvahs. There's one type of mitzvah where the Torah gives you a time period, and it makes no difference as long as you get it under the wire. But there are other mitzvahs where the time period tells you that it's urgent to do it immediately. You know, in Piri Varivia, for example, is tremendous machlokas about birth control. Some say that, you know, no sweat, use birth control, and you'll have a boy and a girl a couple of years later. Let my wife go to college or myself. A million reasons why they come up with postponing. Some say we want to make sure the marriage works out. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Before we have children. All these kinds of things. But many poskim are opposed to it because they hold that Piri Varivia doesn't mean that before you drop, pardon the expression, drop dead and you say goodbye to this world, at some point you have a boy and a girl. But Piri Varivia is an urgent mitzvah. I'm just giving you a beispiel, an example. But if I assume that Milah is an urgent mitzvah, every moment that you postpone the Milah, he's an RL, you know, and we don't want to leave Arlus. Or maybe because the principle of Zrizah Makdim LeMitzvahs in Bris Milah is a separate kiyum in Bris Milah, so it's not so posh to postpone Milah. You know, it's like Kvuras HaMes. I mean, again, Lahav.
But it's different to say like...
You know, we don't postpone Kvuras HaMes unless it's absolutely necessary. Especially here in Yerushalayim, forget it. I mean,
Zman Kriyas Shema. That is it. Zman Kriyas Shema, it's not like that.
I would say Zman Kriyas Shema means within a certain period of time, you know, you have up to Shalosh Shos, you know, sometime fit it in. You know, again, I wouldn't postpone it because Rizamak Dimla Mitzvahs, but Nishkefela, but in Milah, because of the arlus, and maybe for other reasons, you know, mila is pretty urgent. So now the Mishnah Berurah is telling me that instead of going on to do the mila, he reverses his steps and he goes back to be mevayris chametz, even though it's efshel kaim shneya. That I don't understand. Again, if you talk about seuda, no sweat. I wouldn't, you know, seuda doesn't hold a candle
to
be your chametz.
Going back to destroy it.
Not correct. To destroy your chametz.
Couldn't he mevatel it and then go back and destroy it within time without having to go back?
Again, I think the Mishnah Berurah right now is before the... You know, we're not ready for bittul yet. At the end of the day, bittul is going to change the whole thing. Bittul is going to mean that even in terms of the original kedima, the priority of either or, we're not going to go back and destroy our chametz because we have the option of bittul. Do you follow what I mean? So if it's an either or situation, we're going to forfeit beer chametz, but that's only because we have bittul. The Mishnah Berurah is talking before you have the option of bittul. Now you're in a choice situation between beer and mila, and it's efshel l'kayim shneim. And he says that in this case you have to go back, retrace your steps, and be mevar your chametz.
Not go on to
mila. That I don't understand. Yeah. He doesn't explain himself here. But it's so interesting how there's so much here in one short Mishnah Berurah. Alright, where are we up to? We're up to Chavches. V'yim lav. Ratzalom Hashem yachzav yishtadol odus habir. Lo yishar lo zman bayom lasel samila o haseuda. I'm not exactly sure, maybe because of distances, I don't know why is it so impossible to go back and do the mila. That's a pella to me, but okay, that's the mitzius that he's talking about. So in such a case, then l'chora logically you would have to go back and do beer, but the mechaber comes up with another solution to the problem, and that's yivad lena b'libo b'makom shehu. Sharei achar abitul ein tzorch levaro el midivrei sofer b'mokum mitzvah aminu chachomim al din Torah. So if it's an either or situation, we're going to prefer the mitzvah mila, even at the expense of forfeiting the bir chametz derabbanan. Umayri shuadayin b'shal chamishis. Okay, you have to add this condition because bitul after shal chamishis, once chametz becomes also manu, is an impossibility. Ikoy b'shal kvar b'shal shishis al koch yachzor ulevar. Oh wow, this is interesting. Remember, I kept telling you that what if bittul is not an option, and now you have a real triage. It's an either or situation. So it's either mila or it's beer chametz. So the truth is, when I said it to you, I got nervous because what am I telling you that bittul is not an option? How can it be that bittul is not an option? Oh, here's where the Mishnah Berurah fills it in. It's after Shah Shishis. Mm-hmm. Now, how the heck he got himself into this matzav, I don't know. You know, we should give him patch, you know, public tar and feather him. But anyway, that's the mitzvahs. He's now in a situation where if he has no option of bittul. And now beer becomes an absolute requirement, because every moment that he delays beer, he's in violation of number one, the mitzvah say of tashbisu, and number two and three, the violation of al yirobay
motza. Point of clarification: the
well, I just want to read one more line. Yeah. Yitzchok, the afogad al yidezi is battle mitzvah mila. Rabosei, do you understand what's going on over here? He's forfeiting the mitzvah of mila. Again, he can do mila tomorrow,
but that's
not mila bizmana. That's a whole different mitzvah.
But he still has a point where he can't.
He says, "Asei de tashbisu chomet vei she over aleh b'chol rega." Now, why doesn't he mention Bal Yerobay Motze here? Let's just see Chav Dalid. Whoa. Holy Toledo. There's a whole shtickle Torah here in Sharat Siyu Nova Chavdal. So Yitzhak, you ask your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Because I realize we just stepped into a minefield. Yeah.
Just a point of clarification. The Biyu Chametz itself, that's a Shvus de Rabbanan?
No, no, we're talking now that there's no bittul, it's a sixth hour, he has no option of bittul, and now he has a mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbisu without an option of bittul. The only thing he can do is be mavair and destroy his chametz. And that's going to take precedence and trump the mitzvah of mila, according to the Magen Avraham, because keep in mind that this whole piece here in the Mishnah Berurah is based on, as you'll see in the Shaar Tzion Chav Dalet, the Magen Avraham. And why is Tashbisu so chamur that it overrides the mitzvah of mila? I'm talking about mila bizmana. That's because you over alel bechol rega masha'enkein bemila v'inoch. Inoch meaning suras nesuin, suras erisin, excuse me. So Rabosa, in the case of Tashbisu, over alel bechol rega, why doesn't he mention Bal Yerovai Matzeh here? That's how I can't figure it out. Let's just go on. He says, Achem, here we're turning to page 38, im holech l'sasek b'mes mitzvah. Whoa. Now we're talking about a whole different category of a mitzvah, a whole different quality. He's on his way to bury the dead, and there's no one to bury the dead. Now, this is something that could happen if you're on Hatzolah or any of the other organizations, what they call first responders, you know, in the Viniska Sheshal Khovstov Pesa Filu Bisoha Pesa Shebachal Show over. Now all of a sudden he reminds himself about Bal Yeroah. A few shayus for Yom Shiucha Laksal Baselvara Khamit, Vlaksal Kovra Bayom, Afal Pichain Osolo Zozus Mimenuachi Kurenu, Shagodal Kovar Abriya Shadok Komisor Bashemial. Now why is it that the Mishnah Berurah reminds himself, I'm just being dramatic about it, of Bal Yeroah when he gets to the case of Mes Mitzvah? Why didn't he mention Bal Yeroah here on page 37 when he was discussing the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of the mitzvah of Tashbisu with regard to Mila? So he says Tashbisu trumps Mila if it's impossible to get back on time for Mila, and there's no possibility of Bittul because it's the sixth hour. And he says because Tashbisu over a level called Rega. I mean, L'chora, he should have said Bal Yeroah. I mean, that's what he's going to say when he gets to Mes Mitzvah. He's going to say he has to bury the Mes Mitzvah even though he violates Bal Yeroah with every passing second. You know what I'm thinking here, Rabosai? I'm thinking a little bit out of the box. That the Mishnah Berurah holds that there's no Bal Yeroah in Erev Pesach. This is a gigantic controversy. Whether there's the Torah says achilek, so that means that the mitzvah tashbisu has to be achieved, let's say, by midday. But it doesn't say anything about Yeroah by Motzeh. Rashi says that it's also relevant to Bal Yeroah, but other Rishonim disagree. I don't know how he passed him, but it could be that he wants to avoid this whole issue, and therefore he wants to focus all the attention on tashbisu. But Rabbo said what we have to do now, but we don't have the time for it now, is the Sharat Siyun number Chaf Dalet. Now normally I teach Mishnah Berurah without the Sharat Siyun, but I'm beginning to see that this Sharat Siyun is very critical, because again, without the Sharat Siyun, we're left with the following empty feeling in our system, that he's going to forfeit the mitzvah Mila for the sake of Tashbisu. Why is that so? So I'm going to make for myself a little note here that we got up to Chaf Dalet, and I don't know if you gentlemen are around tomorrow, but you're always invited to come by, and if you're not here, then we'll see if anyone else comes, and if not, what's tomorrow, Wednesday? Thursday I give Chumash, so if you're always invited to come back on Sunday if you can't make it tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, so I in theory I teach
tomorrow, yeah.
I teach Mishnah Berurah tomorrow. Okay then?
Thank you very
gentlemen,
much.
Have a great day. And on your way out, just don't remind yourself that you have comments in your house.
Still got it.
Okay.
Getting close to 30 days.